Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 34 for Saturday, April 25th, 2009. I'm Steve Borsch, and on is Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning. I like that music.
Cool. Phil Wilson.
Good morning. Yeah, that music is dangerously hip for the Minivate Podcast.
And Graham Thickens from California.
Yeah, greetings from sunny Orange County.
How you guys doing this morning?
Excellent. Hey, well, sort of excellent.
Sort of excellent. What's the matter?
Well, it was a late night last night getting down here to my place, but I got up and started sucking the coffee so I could do this thing.
Fabulous. You are such a trooper.
Oh, Graham. Wah. I'm in California. Wah.
I've been on a whirlwind the last day and a half or so here. And
I saw you tweet last night at like 10 o'clock. Are you at the airport at 10?
Yeah, it was, filling time. And, I had a bunch of people following me from that event yesterday. And it was pretty fun.
Got it. Hey, I heard somebody's phone chattering against their microphone. And you know what's really funny? So you would think that all of us in the tech space would know, don't have your, especially if it's a BlackBerry, don't have it anywhere near your microphone when you're recording. I got to tell you, I cannot count the number of events that I've been at where I've watched the video afterwards and, you know, the person's got a BlackBerry and all you hear is the RF interference. It's just incredible.
Oh boy. Well, this time it's not me because my phone's not even in the room. So it's one of you high tech gizmo guys.
Yeah, it was me, but it was like 3 feet away. So I turned it off.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the
polling the tower thing that GSM
exactly,
does.
Exactly. Well, I figured it was either that or it was that new high-tech underwear Phil's wearing.
And let me tell you, it's nice.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Just make sure you mute if you're making any noises. Okay, we got a ton of stuff to cover, so let's just go ahead and leap in. Just go through some different things that have happened and some things that are coming up. I want to tell you that I was just delighted to have gone to MiniWebCon at the University of Minnesota and to hear Clutrain Manifesto author Doc Searles, a guy I've followed in his blog for, I'm going to bet, almost 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And also security expert Bruce Schneier, who lives in Minnesota. He's a CTO at a company in California, and he's one of the thought leaders in computer security and privacy, and both the talks were fabulous. The event was well-attended. Garrick Van Buren got up, and he was doing a session on tools. Meg Canada and Michael
Did
Roventine.
We make that list, by the way, on tools? Did we make that list?
No.
You mean internet web tools? Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I thought you said fools.
Oh, fools. Yeah. Oh man.
We made the list on fools, Phil.
We derailed Steve. Sorry about that. He was on a roll. Sorry.
I was on a roll, but it was what I was amazed by was there were probably, I'm going to guess, close to 400 people there, most of whom I've never seen before. There were maybe 20 people that I knew. So it was a pretty amazing group. And it just, again, tells you that there's a groundswell of internet and web-centric folks here in this town that are in this market that are really interested in a lot of this stuff and attending the events.
So it wasn't the normal crowd you see at...
I was going to say, what was the percent of developers? So was it like 95% developers at an event like this, I would assume? Or?
It was pretty much that, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it the same kind of people you see at Mini Bar and Mini Demo?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, really?
No, for the most part, no.
Wow, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
I wonder where they, what rocks have they been hiding under then? Where are they coming from?
Well, I think these are people that, you know, are hands-on in companies, and certainly there were, as you mentioned, a lot of web developers that are doing the hands-on creative and coding and are actually building and maintaining sites and web assets. So it was good. It was, what was interesting to me was that there wasn't, I expected more of a kind of a rock star interest in Doc Searls and Bruce Schneier, and it wasn't that way. Because I certainly was. I didn't act like it, but it was just great to hear those guys. But then another event was one that you ran a panel at, Graham, and I was fortunate enough to do one as well at the Minnesota High Tech Association, MHTA, at the spring conference. And yours was on what?
Cloud computing, of course. The hot space of all time here in 09, anyway. Yeah, I was really impressed with the turnout they got for that event. Number one, first I thought I heard him say they had 850. Then I read later they had 1,000, over 1,000 registered for that thing.
I did not see that.
So that impressed me. It's a different crowd than most of our other events that we go to, and it definitely tilts to an older demographic and way to a large company demographic, which I quickly found with a show of hands. I was shocked in the breakout panel we did in the afternoon, which filled the room. We had standing room only. I estimate we had at least 200 people crammed in these rooms. These breakout rooms were pretty small, but I asked for a show of hands, and I tweeted about this or I blogged about it, and I bet about a third of the audience was with companies of 1,000 employees and above. And pretty close to a third were senior execs or C-level execs, which also amazed me. But that's what we were talking about, was particularly the use of the cloud in the enterprise. But we had a startup on the panel, too, who declared himself the poster boy for cloud computing, and that's Rob Metcalf with FlySpy. Claimed that cloud computing actually saved his company. I mean, it saved him so much money, allowed him to raise, a fairly modest amount of money to get that site launched. And we're finally coming up to him launching that beta site soon here. Then we had a guy named Matt Guggens from Carlson Marketing, an IT architect, solution architect, that talked about some of his successes with enterprise apps. And then George Reese was the third member of the panel, the CTO of Instratus, which is a cloud management tools startup that's just getting going. And we had a real lively discussion, and no one got up and left. And like I said, no one heckled. So I figured it was a success.
Well, here were two things that struck me. One was during the opening sessions, kind of all the rules being broken, tons of slides with lots of bullet points, a lot of ties. Somebody had tweeted, tons of Donna Karen suits, DKNY suits and the women.
And, right. I heard that there were a lot of suits in the room. That seemed to be a lot of the tweets.
And there were a couple of things, and I actually made a recommendation to a woman from MHTA that the site didn't have an RSS feed. The link to the schedule didn't say it was a PDF, and it was a PDF rather than a live schedule. No iCal support or anything.
Low tech.
Yeah. Cam Gross sat next to me, and he was stunned that there wasn't an immediate announcement about a hashtag. And, and I looked at him and I said, that's because no one would know what it was. So there was that.
I saw Cam Gross's tweet about, they were handing out index cards to get questions.
he had the big,
huh?
That was funny. I laughed.
Yeah. Man. But it was interesting. It was, because the session that I was moderating with Gary Kohling and Matt Meintz from Reside and Bob Brin from Padilla Spear was also standing room only. I don't even know how many people were there. And thank you, Graham, by the way, for not heckling, because I figured you'd ask a question, you'd stand up and, you tell me about these tubes?
I was so wedged in, I could hardly move. I mean, I couldn't even tweet. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder. I literally could not get my iPhone out and tweet. Maybe I got one tweet off in the whole darn thing. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I was just going to say about MHTA, what people have to understand is that thing is primarily a government lobbying organization and that's, you know, that supports the interests of the large tech companies in the state.
Right.
It really isn't very high tech the way we understand high tech.
So read that med tech, right?
Pardon me?
Mostly med tech?
Yeah, a lot of that, although there are separate organizations that support our state's, medical device community. But yeah, this unfortunately, the IT and internet startup community is not really much a part of MHTA going back several years. And that's unfortunate. But it's not really an organization for startups.
No. And they're ironically not terribly involved in a lot of the issues, it seems like. That it's more about helping companies move their agendas forward.
Well, and they really support the math and science education thing. I mean, that's been a big thing for them for years, and so they do good work. It's just people going by the name of the organization, you'd think they were more than maybe what they are. They merged with the Minnesota Software Association many years ago. That's got to be 10, 12 years ago now. And that was an organization that had more small company, startup company members. But I think that's changed over the years. Mostly big companies.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So, I'm curious, Tim, if you run into this with your client base. But the one thing that this young woman said to me with MHTA is when I mentioned the hashtag and the RSS feed and the, being able to have subscribable calendars, and things of that nature on their site, she really said, well, that's really not our audience. And so my comeback to her was, are you interested though in growing and by attracting a, younger demographic? Oh yes, absolutely. I said, well, then that's table stakes.
I think that just education, basically, once people know that they can, increase their subscribers, particularly with the more tech savvy and younger demographic there, that's when they start to, it starts to click in their mind that this makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's education, I think, just to let people know these things are out there and this is why you'd want to do it.
Yeah, I think they'd have to change their whole rate structure, though. I really do, But yeah, there's a big project there for somebody to rework their whole web presence and get them into the 21st century. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it's critical going forward. So the same day, Saturday the 18th, that was last Saturday, wasn't it? You were doing Cloud Camp, Graham, and I did that Wired for 2020 thing, which, by the way, you were the one who put the bug in Mark Kurtz's from Gage Marketing's ear about, hey, what about Borsch? He could maybe be involved. And I appreciate that, by the way. But tell us about Cloud Camp.
Oh, Cloud Camp was fantastic. Unfortunately, it occurred on the first unbelievable spring Saturday, when the temps went into the 70s. And we quickly found out who was serious. Way over 200 had registered for that thing. And of course it was free, registered on Eventbrite. And thank God they didn't all come, because that venue would not have handled it very well. Something over 100 showed up, but they were there with bells on and they were serious, serious folks. And it filled up that computer science venue at the U. Great building, that new computer science building. I'd never been in, but we had some great meeting rooms in there, and excellent set of sponsors. I mean, people came from out of town, some of the sponsors, and it was a very serious audience. A lot of large company folks, again, enterprise folks, long-time experienced IT, senior folks, senior architects, CTOs, but then a mix of young developers. So I love the mix of young and old, and enterprise and startups. It was a very excellent high energy event. You could feel it in the room. That cloud is big, serious stuff that everybody is looking at.
Was it mostly enterprise focused, Graham, or was there also some startup kind of?
Well, stuff? You know, it was there was definitely something for everybody, but you know, it was highly technology oriented. I mean, the breakout topics, which were as in all unconferences as this, were defined in the opening session and, you know, put up on the whiteboard. I mean, we're fairly technical. We had one on security and compliance and so forth, which is, you know, the hugest question relating to the public cloud. And then, we had a breakout session on cloud mobility, which is, you know, and for you who, and that actually was kind of a new term on me, but I understood what it meant. It meant moving apps from one cloud provider to the other, or from the internal data center to the cloud. That's called cloud mobility. But it can also mean like moving the whole server, is the way one of the presenters, RightScale, defined it. But moving apps, when necessary, from say Amazon to GoGrid or Rackspace Maso, which is the other player in the cloud. But, you know, of course, Amazon is the huge, biggest player by far. And so a lot of the discussion was around the Amazon cloud. But it was a technical group. And, you know, I mean, a lot of it was way above my head. But I'm trying to keep up on this stuff. And it was, I'm very glad I went. It was, excellent networking, great reception afterwards at Bulldog in Northeast. And it a very successful event, I think, was the top, one of the top trending topics on Twitter that day.
So you don't think it's a fad? You think it's here to stay?
Oh, heavens, yes, it's here to stay. Don't get me going on the cloud. I just came from under the radar yesterday in Mountain View, and which was totally all about startups, cloud startups. And it was a hot event. Every VC and anybody else who was, you know, who's who in the Silicon Valley was there, you know. So, yeah, cloud is for real. And I think Oracle buying Sun, I think, you know, despite what Larry Ellison rants about cloud computing being an overhyped term, you know, I think the players are lining up, and it's all the big players that are coming into the cloud. And, it offers such amazing economic advantages. It talk about a technology right for the times. You know, it's a, like George Reese said at our MHTA cloud panel, you know, it's really driven more from the CFO's office than the CIO's. And, we're talking hard realities. And when you look at the serious bucks that can be saved, you can't ignore it. You know, it's finally for real. I mean, we've heard about utility computing for years and, you know, the promises of, you know, pay-as-you-go computing and computing like electricity. You just turn it on and you don't care where it's coming from. You know, a lot of people have poo-pooed it and put it down and, you know, said it would never happen. Well, it's coming. All the tools and technologies and in particular, the success of Amazon Web Service is really what's driven it. When you look at the usage chart of AWS, it is amazing how this thing is catching on, you know.
There's a lot of ways to get into this, but there's a new tool for the Mac that allows FTP and secure FTP, but they also have Amazon S3 built into it. So you can literally mount an Amazon S3 space on your desktop and just drag and drop files from it.
Beautiful. What's that called?
Well, I knew you'd ask that, and of course I don't have it up, but I'll put it in the show notes.
That'd be cool.
You'll be able to
see
that.
Is that through web dev or is it some other like
No, it's
Mac,
through
Mac specific kind of deal.
Yeah, it's called Mac Fuse. I'll go off on a tangent. I don't want to do that right now because we don't have time, but I'll put some stuff in the show notes so you guys can go poke around, and so can our listeners. That same day on the 18th, again, thanks, Graham. I was, you know, part of that Wired for 2020 event at the Mall of America. And two things struck me. One was the sponsors who were involved, MHTA, MEMA, Target, Best Buy, Minnesota Department of Education, on and on and on. And it's the Mentoring Partnership of Minnesota's campaign to get more mentors involved with the youth in the state of Minnesota. They had all these different areas set up, you know, in various parts of the mall. And unfortunately, the way that some of this stuff was set up in the interactive area, we were talking to curtains, facing curtains, and on the side were two rows of laptops so people could get hands-on if the speaker had something. So it wasn't really conducive for people to wander over and sit down and listen. Plus, it was right by that big hammer or axe ride that swings around, and so people were screaming like crazy and a lot of ambient noise. But the point is that if you look at all these different things, so if you look at Mini Demo and you look at MHTA and the collaborative and all the initiatives with trying to spark youth and educate youth, and I think you mentioned, Tim, about the education piece with MHTA and your client base. And that's what I know we all are doing, whether we're doing it for pay or as champions or evangelists for in the internet and the web. All of this is leading to the same place, which is, getting everybody to get involved and move forward in a world where it's not just flat, it's connected in new and very interesting ways. There was a lot of money and a lot of effort behind this adventure.
I hope
they knocked it out of the park.
Wendy and Mark Kurtz at Gage. What's Wendy's last name? I'm blanking on her
Wendy
last
Meadley.
Name.
Now. Wendy Meadley.
Yeah.
Awesome
they did a
job.
Tremendous
they
job
did,
organizing
oh my
that
God.
Thing. And I'm sorry I couldn't have been there, but you talked about blogging and staying wired.
It was more about because I really thought through the goals and objectives of Wired for 2020 and what are they trying to get to. So to stand up and talk about blogging or content creation, which was really what it was, and ultimately using a blog as your stake in the ground. So, you know, at a minimum, people have to be involved online and participate, especially if they're mentors. But how this could also be a way where people will be able to understand not only mentors but mentees about how all these things are coming together in parallel and why we need to understand how to pull all this stuff together and be able to encapsulate it and tell a story. So if you, for example, Tim, were trying to, you know, encapsulate social media and internet as a platform for your client base, or same thing with you, Phil, if you were doing that with trying to get people to understand how all this stuff works and why it matters and what's the level of participation, you know, any of us, it's a matter of we got to pull all these pieces together. We've got to find all the data. We've got to look at different thought leaders that are coming at it from different perspectives and then try to put it together, especially if we have 30 minutes to give people an overview. And that was kind of the theme that I approached this with. It's a skill set that we all need to learn, especially kids. So it was pretty fun. I did a post on Minovate about it as well. How about Ignite Minneapolis? Did you guys hear anything about that?
Well, I was able to follow along and that night, but to some extent, I had some stuff that I had to get at. But I had a lot of friends that did some presentations, so I watched the videos, which are available on Ustream, and it was a great time. Had a chance to talk to some folks afterwards. They, you know, I've heard anywhere from 300 to 700 people were there, depending on who you
talked
to.
Yeah, I heard 550.
Yeah, it was packed. It was very packed. I think well-received to some extent. I know that some of the issues were it was kind of noisy in the back because of the free beer. But such is life with free beer.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, and we just talked ever so briefly about it, but you guys know Bill Kerstell? is the producer for Make, the TV show shot at Twin Cities Public Television.
Yeah, Gerstel, I think it is, right?
Sorry.
He makes catapults.
He makes catapults. He makes cannons. I mean, the guy is just a machine. Anyway, so we bumped into one another at MHTA, and he was basically saying, "So what do you do?" And, you know, we should talk and have coffee. We had coffee this week. And, you know, there are so many people like him here in this market, and they're coming at a lot of this stuff from a significantly different perspective. But, you know, again, I think about this Wired for 2020 event, or I think about what MHTA is trying to do relative to, you know, encourage youth and educate them and get them, you know, open to what's going on. And this guy is all about making stuff, you know, getting your fingernails dirty and creating it. And you know what? We are probably not going to be able to educate our best minds and have them get into the financial services industry going forward. We're probably going to have to make stuff that the world wants to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if that Adams. Stuff is online.
Well, okay, so now this. So how did we get from Ignite back to that? Was that just a thought that was still rolling around in your head?
No, because Bill was he was one of the presenters at Ignite. Didn't I say that at the beginning?
I don't know. Did you? Did I?
Yes, no. You did.
I may have nodded off.
You know, and you guys know that I have ADD, right? So how many people with ADD does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Hey, look at the bird.
Yeah. You know, last week I bought a bike and, yeah, okay, what a kidder.
Talking to the guy that posted that joke probably three times already on Comic Twit.
Oh, I know. I totally forgot. That's probably where I got it.
No, I think you gave it to me. So
All right.
Here's a question I had. The one thing I was just talking with some folks about Ignite yesterday, and they had the Twitter feed up on the wall during Ignite. Is that kind of rude to presenters to do that?
No. In fact, the very first time that I ever saw that happen, it was Tony Perkins, who's the, didn't he do Red Herring, Graham?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Silicon Valley event and publishing guru.
He's been around for a long time. So he did the Always On conference and he streamed it, and he also had live chat. And he up on the dais on this one particular event. It was one of the first ones that I really paid attention to online. It was maybe two and a half years ago. The live chat was projected up on the screen. And so people started to get really nasty. And so Tony Perkins is looking at the screen, and then the three panelists are lined up. It was Michael Medved and former California Governor Jerry Brown, and then the third one was somebody that was in the Clinton White House. I can't remember his name. But, you know, people started lobbing stuff up there like, hey, Perkins, get to the point. Ask him the tough questions like blah, 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 blah. And then it became this sort of groundswell and cacophony. And it literally, Perkins stopped and said, you know, the natives are restless because, boy, look at what's going on. And everyone's attention was on the screen, and it shifted the course of the panel discussion and his questions.
Yeah. But as far as, you know, opening up to, I don't know, text heckling for any,
purposes.
I mean, we're talking about a presentation here, something that's, especially in the Ignite format, you're not changing your presentation based on the crowd. No. You got five.
You don't have any time
slide.
To. Yeah,
precisely.
I just really think that, because I know that there were a lot of discussions about how noisy it was and how rude some of the comments were on the screen, and how it detracted and really incited the crowd to even be louder. I don't know. I am not a big fan of that. I think if you want back channel, well, that's what it is. It's back channel. It shouldn't be made brought to the foreground.
Right. That's a mob kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's okay. So that's my comment.
Okay.
I think it's kind of an interesting way to make the presentation more interactive, though.
Yeah, but a presentation isn't necessarily, especially in that format, is not necessarily designed to be interactive.
No.
Well, especially because you want people, you know, in that short a period of time, the whole point to Ignite is that even if you're bored out of your mind watching somebody, you only got them for 7 minutes or
it's, you know, 5 minutes. Yeah.
That's it. So it's like
5 minutes, 20 slides.
Yeah. Even the worst possible value proposition you can sit through for 5 minutes. So
how many presentations were there, Phil?
God, there were, well, I mean, it was solid wall to wall for over 2 hours. Jen Kane did her last presentation at, it was like the 2 hour 25 mark.
Wow. What was hers on?
Hers was on dealing with douchebags.
What a great title. Douchebag Zen, how to work with them since you can't kill them. What a great title. Oh God, how funny.
And speaking of, just briefly, another event that went on yesterday was Jen Kane Consulting put on their first social media 101 boot camp. I had a chance to participate in that a little bit, and really, really, really well put together, marketed and branded boot camp. You know, that was one of those things that was like, wow, this is like professional and everything. They did a really good job. It was paid. They had 60 people paid to learn about social media. The Geek Girls did some discussion, and Lisa Foote did some stuff on mobile. And I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm trying to remember everybody. Let me try to remember who all was involved. But it was a really well done event.
Huh. Jen is quite the event organizer. She's got a hankering to do a, you know, after going to South by Southwest, to do a Mid by Midwest.
Yeah.
And it turns out she's not the first one to think of this, obviously. I got hooked up with the social media guy at, get this, GM, who's got a hankering to do an event like that in Detroit. And so we had this long email exchange. He was referred to me by a PR buddy of mine out east, and he said, well, you know, maybe we could do it in Detroit 1 year and Minneapolis the next year or something. And it's like, okay, guys, you know, I said, Jen, meet, I forget his name now, Chris or whatever. And you know, and you guys talk amongst yourselves and, you know, go away and come up with a Mid by Midwest event. You know, it's like, it makes my brain ache to even think of such a thing. But anyway,
I love that. Go away and come back.
Come back and tell me what you, you know,
want me to do.
Well, I might go to it. I'll tweet from it, but you know, I don't want to hear about all the gory planning details that would have to go into something like that. You know, how does anybody try to copy what South by Southwest does? You know, I mean, whoa.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Anyway.
Well, let's wrap up by talking about some future events, mini demos coming up on May 7th.
Yeah, I was disappointed. It's not an all-day mini bar this time, but I guess they couldn't pull that off till the fall.
Okay. Well, they're going to have an Ignite-like, you know, the whole seven-minute thing. But they've got a real good lineup. So it's looking real strong. Mm. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. Yep. But then also this Wednesday is the social media breakfast about personal branding. It'll be held at Allianz in Golden Valley. And what's really amazing is I was reading my daughter's tweet telling about how she's going to go to companies and manage their Twitter and Facebook and other social media presences. And I talked to her and I said, well, you know, that's called a community manager. And she goes, I know. And blah, blah, blah. Well, so she came over and we're going to do a site and she's going to get all connected up so she can go out and do this. And so I had some trepidation about, you know, her ability at 20 years old to really be connected. But this, she's just, I mean, it's like, maybe it's the digital native thing, but she is all over the tools and is showing me things that I hadn't even seen. So she is going to go. She has a friend that's going to SMB, MSP, and she's going to go as well. And so they can really see how the pebble's been dropped in the pond and the ripples are going out.
Okay, so there's another Minovate phrase that sounds dirty but isn't.
What's that?
She's all over the tools.
Are you lonely, Phil?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
I'm teasing.
I was in comic twit mode earlier this morning. So,
You know, I got to tell you in all seriousness that it is really fun to see that pop up.
Good.
You know,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's, you know, you're reading along and you're looking at something real serious and then here comes the little comic twit bird telling you,
you know,
telling
every once in a while I'll get a little email or a direct message saying, you know, that was offensive. And it's like, I always feel like shooting back an email saying, boy, I've done much more offensive stuff than that on comic twit.
Oh, how funny. Well, gentlemen, anything I'm missing or we're missing?
Oh, I had a chance to go to the Mobile Twin Cities groups. That actually was organized by my partner at Local Tone Radio and Local Tone Systems, Justin Grammons. And, it's clearly a much more technical group than I can necessarily comprehend. But I really enjoyed a couple of really good presentations, one which was about mobile and the impact on the semantic web and some very exciting stuff out there.
Did they talk at all about you know, platforms and cross-platform development, stuff like that?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and we talked, you know, I think that everybody just defaults thinking that the iPod is, the iPhone is the de facto, platform to build on these days. But really, I mean, with all the different platforms out there, there are a lot of things afoot, and it's just going to be really interesting to see where it all ends up.
Was Dan Grigsby there by any chance?
No, I don't think Dan was there that day. I actually got it in a little late, but no, he was not there.
Okay.
But he's
were the guys from Code Morphic there, the iPhone developers?
Didn't see Bill or Damon there. So, okay. But again, they meet every month.
Oh, okay. How big a group is it? It's all pretty much mobile app developers then?
Or? Right. There were about 20 there for that one. Okay. And okay. So it's just, I think that was the second meeting that Justin had put together. It was interesting to see. He did a presentation on the different updates on the Android versus Mac platform. So it was really interesting to see.
I know the Code Morphic guys weren't there because they're so darn busy. Did you see the new app they just came out with? They did for a medical atlas company down in Texas called Blossom. It's a healthcare app, like for healthcare professionals. It costs $19.99, or consumers can buy it too. And you can watch videos of medical animations of the human body. Unbelievable, really, really nice quality, medical animations. The first of several apps I think they'll be doing for that company.
So, speaking of something to do when you're lonely.
Jeez. I feel like I'm in Woody Allen's Sleeper. We're back to a discussion of the Orgasmatron. Did Mobile Orchard come up? That's the reason I asked about Grigsby is, you know, they're doing that, doing that Mobile Orchard site. But that's really, I think, iPhone centric.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah. And it's about, a news site for developers, I guess is what it is. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yep, developer news, and they do podcast interviews and so forth.
Well, a lot's going to be happening with iPhone 3.0 software coming in June. I'm pretty excited about that and the new iPhone, and I'm ready for an upgrade. And I think we might be hearing some news about a larger format iPod Touch. Tim Cook of Apple came out and said netbooks suck. You know, it's like they don't need a netbook. They already have one. And you know, the larger iPod Touch, if it's really going to happen, essentially becomes their netbook, at least to some people.
Why wouldn't they just build in the cellular so you could have 3G data connections too?
I'm sure they
into
will.
Into the Touch?
I think they would.
Yeah, so make sort of a hybrid device that's sort of like an iPhone, and you can use it in voice mode with a Bluetooth headset or something. But it is fully meshed with the cellular network, so you can do, you know, high-speed mobile data anytime.
Yeah, well, then you're a hop, skipping away from a hack to be, you know, just turn it into an iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's a bigger device, so you can't put it in your pocket, really.
Right. Well,
you haven't seen my pockets.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't seen Phil's cargo pants.
Well, I tell you why. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I cannot tell you how strongly I believe that that device is going to happen. I don't know how big it's going to be, but I think it'll be a journal replacement. It'll be that type of form factor, you know, roughly the size of the Kindle. But unlike the Kindle, it'll play video and it'll be a true, you know, multifunction, multimedia type of device.
And it'll feature 3 hours of battery life too.
Well, that's the downside. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what though? I'm on my third battery for my MacBook Pro. And it just, you know, just because I go through the cycles and I end up burning them out. But, you know, I always plug that thing in. I mean, when I go to a coffee shop, you know, I'm plugging in. I'm not running off battery for the most part. And I want something that I can just carry around and have with me and actually do more than I can on an iPhone. Yep. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm going to take the plunge and do the Palm Pre. So,
are you really?
Yep.
Cool. Well, yep. You know what? Then will you let me play with it? Because I want to try it out.
Yes, another Minovate. Things that sound dirty, but they aren't.
That's right. Yeah, but you know what, though? If you don't say that, you're the only one that's looking at it that way, Phil. So,
well, it's my warped sense of humor, I guess.
Well, we should wrap up. Thanks, gentlemen. And have a great weekend.
You too.
You bet.
All righty. Take care.
See you on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, maybe at SMB if I can make
it. There's always something going on. You know that. We always run into each other.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I got to tell you, this is probably the first week, almost 2 weeks, guys, that we may not have seen each other at an event. Well, Graham, you and Steve saw each other.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been, kind of unusual for us.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We got to get out more. Get away from the machines. And
story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, guys.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye now.
Yep. Have a good week.